Hello, hello, and welcome to the Feminine Magnetism Podcast with your host, me, Halai. So, so happy to have you joining in into this space where we talk about all things intuition, alignment, and pleasure power. All the episodes that you're about to listen to are completely unplanned, unedited, and divinely channeled live streams converted into audio for you. So that means that they are a little messy and imperfectly perfect, just as is the magic of the feminine. Hope you enjoy.
There's obviously a reason why, like, the moment that you reached out, like, what was in that moment? What happened? What triggered? Like, I am lost. I need clarity. I need support. What comes to mind right away?
What comes to mind of why I want clarity is being in a positive mindset and healthy relationships moving forward, and not having a negative connotation towards relationships, because that's something where I feel like it's natural for me, where I'm like, okay, I've had, unfortunately, a ton of like crappy experiences. And so when it comes to like dating new people or thinking that I'll ever find happiness, I'm like, it's not for me, because everybody I date ends up being like looks like a perfect person on the outside, but then like once you get into the relationship with them, they're not a nice person.
Yeah.
So that's not my type, I guess.
Okay. So relationships is at the forefront right now. It's like clearly relevant because an ex reached out. So tell me about that. So this person reaches out to you, and how did it play out? What was there, like, a desire that maybe you said no to? What happened?
It was just like a simple, you know how you can send like a heart on people's stories on Facebook and whatever and other things. And we haven't been friends on Facebook. So anyway, I had a story and got like a little heart bubble thing. And like he had been on my mind just a little bit, like come to my mind a couple times that past week. And so, you know, from a religious standpoint, for me, when I have reoccurring thoughts, like something that's completely, you know, more or less random, it's not something that I normally think about, then I'm like, okay, then I might be inspired. And then when it reoccurs several times, then I'm like, okay, maybe I need to reach out to that person or say something. So when that heart bubble came up or whatever, I was just like, I wrote a short message of like, you've weighed on my mind recently. Don't know why, but I like hope all is well, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And then it came back. And then the rebuttal to that was, I never explicitly said, like, I never gave a crap about you, you know, I never cared about you and never have and never will, and nobody else will ever will. And so it was like super harsh, like come back. And I was like, okay, well, should have saw that coming, but I, you know, I like to see the best in people, but I don't. Yeah. I see the best in people and then let myself get hurt when people mm-hmm. are mean.
Okay, so let's forget seeing the best in people or making light of this. In that moment, you reached out just to reach out, or just wanted to say, kind of open a door, or is that what happened?
Yeah, not necessarily open a door. I don't want to revisit it, but I wanted to. I felt personally that it was possible if I was having reoccurring thoughts and then this came up, I'm like, okay, is that maybe that's not a coincidence, maybe like something bigger is going on that I'm not aware of, and I, well, then I guess you would call it opening a door of like, maybe this person needs somebody to talk to, or maybe, you know, maybe you know, it's not, you know, a coincidence, more or less. And so that's why I sent that message of just like, one, for me to have I always want to be the one with peace in mind of knowing that I did what I could in reaching out and being there for somebody. Mm-hmm. Versus like, you know, that's just how I am. I want to have peace in mind and knowing that I've been true to myself and true to my character, true to my values and morals and everything else. So like, even though there's hurt in the past, that if I would have done it for anybody else, I would still do it for this person of like, okay, yeah. Like, I don't see a coincidence in it. You've weighed on my mind a little bit. I hope all is well.
Yeah. Okay. So there was an impulse to reach out. And then right. immediately it's like shot down pretty aggressively with some words of just kind of negating your character and just your relationship and even condemning what's possible for you long term. Like, it just was everything, past, present, future, just said no.
Right.
Okay. So what was that experience like to be on the receiving end of that? That's a very, very harsh message to just
right
out of nowhere unexpectedly.
Right. My first thought was, then why in the world did you even send me that heart bubble in the first place? It makes zero sense to weigh in on my story, because that was like my door opening of to send him the message, you know. And I was like, okay, why even send that? And then like my second, like the bigger thought, you know, hit is, I knew like getting out of it, working with a therapist after a relationship and everything else, knew that it wasn't like not a nice person, mm-hmm. not a nice person, and somebody, you know, that it's good that I've moved forward. But to revisit, like, I've never cared about you, never have, never will. And it's like knowing that, you know, for the time that we were in a relationship, that I would have done or given anything, you know, to help them, to, I would do anything for them, you know, give them my liver if they needed it, give them my kidney if they, you know, like, just like I would have done anything. And so the fact that it was like, never cared about you then, don't care about you now, like never have, never will, I was just like, ouch. But it also gave clarity of just like this. I mean, I guess in some ways I was grateful. I'm like, okay, I'm glad I've been out of that relationship and I've been out of it for a long time. And I'm glad that I have very clear, mm-hmm. like outline now of who this person is. You know, just period. Like this person is not a nice person, and I, you know, there's no desire to go back there, and that like reconfirmed that. But I was just like, ouch. I would do, you know, for a long, long period of time, I would do anything for them. But like, it was like, okay. So for me, I felt like everything that ever existed was a lie. Mm-hmm. Okay, Does that make sense?
Yeah. I want to just hold that for a moment. So to, you know, you're getting these signs, okay, maybe this person needs me. Maybe there's like some peace here, just like an exchange of love even that's available. So you kind of open that door just gently, and it all comes down like even more unexpectedly. And right. suddenly everything feels like a total lie. Like now, right. not only do I question what the sign was that I was getting, or the feeling that I had inside of me, or the relationship that we had, I'm questioning all of that in right. this moment.
Right. Because I mean, I knew there was deceit, like getting out of the relationship and working through therapy, like that just like, it came as something where it was like something that I knew, but I denied it. I denied it to myself a lot of just like, okay, no, like there, it is, this is a good person. And like their actions like might be hurtful and mean, but like they overall have good intentions, kind of a thing. And so like, that was something that I didn't even realize that then, you know, coming out of that relationship and working with a therapist, like I finally realized. But then I just like, I guess it was a re-hit of like, I lived my most, like I was 100% genuine with everything, my emotions, my feelings, willing to give, being that way in a relationship. And I don't want to lose that part of myself, because I do, like, it is something that I think is a part of who I am. And I would want somebody to be that way. So I don't want to lose that part of myself. But it was like, it was, yeah, like a smack in the face. Like it was, it's all been a lie, you know, from day one, it was a lie. And I, that was kind of like a rude awakening.
Okay. What is the lie that at this point with this experience that you're coming to realize? What was the lie from day one in your eyes right now?
That he ever even cared or wanted anything to do with me, that I was ever worth anything to him, or what he made me believe or anything like that. It was all just lies. It was an illusion.
And is this something that feels true now, or has felt true maybe right after the relationship or at some point during the relationship?
That is something that I, like I said, like working through with a therapist, that was something that came to surface. And I was like, wow, like that's a hard pill to swallow. But then just like having the exact words, you know, that were said, I was like, holy cow, like you just can, like, it was a confirmation that was straight from the mouth, of that person. That was like, ouch, like never, like, you know, it's one thing like putting it together, but having it be said straightforward, I think that's where a lot of things resurfaced and we're just like, okay, this is a hard pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in the past, like, maybe there were some realizations that came through in therapy, and maybe there was like some inkling of just not an equal exchange of love when you were together. Like you felt like that could have been there, but suddenly, like with the words coming out of his mouth, it became like a fact, like it was no longer in question.
Right, exactly. And so that was kind of like it's different, like when you're working and you're doing like a science project or whatever, it's one thing when you're in the hypothesis phase. But like once you have proven data, proven facts, it's like, okay, you can't, like, there is no like, oh, like 1% chance that it could still be something else, or mm-hmm. you know, or anything like that, because it's hard facts. It's right there in front of you.
Mm. Good. Okay. So when the words come out of his mouth, that for you was the ultimate like defining answer, was when it comes. Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, this person never, like I was a puppet for him the whole time. I was like, okay, I was a puppet the entire time, you know, and I, you know, completely opened up myself. But if he's willing to say, like, never, ever cared, don't ever care, will never care, it's like, okay, yeah, I was a puppet the whole time.
Okay, tell me more about this, the feeling of, like, being a puppet. When did that come to?
Actually, just now talking about it. Just now talking about it is what it's come. Okay. But it's something that I think that I might have in the back of my mind at times, because this relationship is an old one. Like we're talking 2.5 years ago. So it's been of time, there's been healing, there's been process. I thought I was completely fine and over it, like I said, but then things resurface and I was like, okay, well, this is not how I want to feel. And it shouldn't haunt me or whatever anymore, even though it did. And so I think like between now, or between that relationship ending and now, of where I have like a feeling in the back of my mind when dating anybody else or friendships or anything else is like, is this person just using me? Is this person actually genuine with what they're saying? Are their actions genuine, like coming from a place, like a pure place, or they have a different underlying reason of why they're acting and saying these things?
Mm. Okay. And what is like the sensation of being a puppet? Like, what does that mean to you?
I think of like just being kind of like a toy to play with, of where, you know, when you're in, I'm trying to, because there's different types of puppets, but being like a puppet on a string, I guess, would be a kind of the example that I'm looking for, of like, it's like their actions will make, you know, how that person, you know, pulls the different strings makes the puppet do different things, right? Mm-hmm. And so like that's how I felt, is because it was like certain strings were pulled that opened me up in different ways. And then I was, I mean, at the end of the day, I made the choice to be open, and that was me, but it was also pulling different emotions, pulling different strings, like saying different things, you know, silver tongued. And then it like, you know, I don't want to sound like a 17-year-old girl or whatever, where it's like, you know, just like he said this and it made my heart melt. But there are things like that, or times like that, where it was like, make your heart melt. And finally, you're just like this puddle and head over heels. And that's, you know, that's the point that I got to of being the puppet, as I was head over heels.
Good. Okay. So I think one, let's not shame the 17-year-old self within us that actually still exists, that part of you, the younger version of yourself that ached to hear those words, and that the teen heartthrob that, you know, we were taught, it was like, oh, these are the things that mean love. So that still exists, and all the feelings and the way she responds totally exists. But there's something about this puppet energy that feels like, you know, for some reason, when you said that, I was thinking like a hand puppet, a sock puppet, where he controls what's said. He may move your mouth, but it's his words, his choice. And in this moment, there's something about him saying this and putting this into the space within your relationship that suddenly made it come to life. So although maybe a part of you just really it knew it was done, speaking it to an existence almost felt necessary to some degree. Like there's some truth to his word. And what does that feel like? So is there a part of when he says something, he means it, or when he says something, it has intent? How do his words affect you?
You mean his words now or like then, like being in the relationship or now being out of the relationship?
Both. Let's hear both.
Okay. Now being out of the relationship, I don't know what to believe. A lot of things I'm just like, I have some things I know people will say out of hurt. I've said things out of hurt and anger, and you know, people are that way. So does part of me want to be like, okay, yeah, he's saying things out of hurt and anger, you know, doesn't make it right, doesn't make it okay, doesn't justify it, but he is coming from an angry place, and that's why he's being as harsh as he is. And it does help, you know, see true character, and it does, so it doesn't justify it, but it does make it a little bit easier to swallow than just being like that, you know, he's just straight up mean and has always been mean. When I was in the relationship though, how his words affected me were just like, he knew the right things to say always, always knew exactly, you know, anything I could be angry at him for, you know, doing uncalled for, you know, things. And so that's, you know, I could be go from so angry and just like, you know what, there's this person is not cool. And then as soon as I talked to him about it, it was like he knew all the right things to say to completely like erase, you know. And I would never even like be like, you know, think that that was a wrong action ever again. You know, I never second questioned it until I was finally out of the relationship of like, just because he knew how to talk, you know, me through anything and be like, oh, okay, well, that's fine then.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So regardless, so in this moment, there's a part of you that would rather say, okay, he is in an angry state rather than he's just a mean person. Is that right?
Right. Well, he's in an angry state, and that's why he's being as like, he is a mean person. And he does have a mean side to him, but the reason why words are being as harshly just like put out as they are is because it's coming from a place of anger. But yes.
And where are you getting that from, that this is coming from anger? How do you know that?
Because I feel like I like to think most people are good, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I just hope that nobody is going to straight up just say things that they're fighting words. They're fighting words that they know will hit differently and be taken mean. And so it's like, okay, it's coming from a place of anger because those words were meant to hurt. And maybe he doesn't even feel that way, but I just feel like most people, if they are going to say things, you know, to hit a certain spot, it would be coming from a place of, you know, I want, you know, they're fighting words. They're angry words. They're words that are meant to hit.
Yeah. Okay. And from your perception and experience, why do you feel that he wanted to hurt, wanted to inflict this pain on you, or felt this anger that he needed to get out on you?
I think that he's personally hurt in some way, and possibly did care at some point. And so that is why he feels like the need to have a strong defense mechanism, or from what, you know, just basic books that I've read, is women oftentimes express our anger, frustration, and hurt like emotionally. Like we'll just say everything and like cry it out. And men sometimes they just get angry. They don't know, they don't really they don't bring everything to the surface like we do. And so that was kind of a thought that has just come to me just now of talking it through, of just like, maybe he was hurt, but he's not willing. He doesn't want to say it. He doesn't want me to ever know it. He just wants to be mad.
Yeah. Okay. So he just wants to be mad. Like there's a part of him, and he's obviously reacting from like an inner child place of hurt. And he just is giving himself permission to be mad, even though it is inflicting pain on you. Not the best way to go about your anger, but he is giving himself that permission to just be mad at what happened here. And there's a part of you right now that is actually just in this forgiveness place. It feels like this, I'm not sure if you're already there, but this desire to be in forgiveness, this being in this understanding of, oh, you've already been hurt, and maybe you did care, and all of that could totally be true. But in this moment, do you feel a sense of like, I forgive you? I feel like clear. I feel at peace.
I feel clear of where I am.
Which is what?
I'm free of that relationship. I'm free of where I was. Mm-hmm. I actually spoke to like a religious leader this past like couple days, and like I said, you know, religious, I'm spiritual, that sort of a thing. It was really odd is like, for the longest time, I always thought that this was going to be my future spouse, because both of us had like prayer groups over us the exact same day. I never told him about mine, but he told me about his, and was like, you'd never believe it. They were like praying, and like out of the nowhere, you know, how, you know, they're saying that God is feeling like this is inspired to be your future spouse. So that coincidentally happened to the both of us on the same day. I never told him my end, but that was kind of like a confirmation to me. It was like, okay, this is a good person. And there was a lot of spiritual moments with them. But then as the relationship went south and south and south, and things just kind of got manipulated, and I knew that I needed to get out of where there's always that part of you that, you know, just because I do have, you know, like I said, I'm religious, I'm spiritual, because there's that part and certain things that happen that I'm like, okay, well, I just threw away like my whole future relationships, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the second part to that is that when that relationship ended, things being said out of anger, things being said, you know, because, you know, people get hurt. And they're frustrated, but that, and I, he wanted me to not, you know, not leave. So when I left him, and, you know, one of his biggest things is like, nobody's ever going to love you. Nobody's ever going to like want you, and like list, you know, gives me a list of certain flaws that I have and reasons why nobody would ever tolerate being with me. And it's funny because the good guys that I've dated between now and then, for whatever reason, that is something that surfaces with them, that comes out in their own, like, of like one person. I was like, I really like you, and I think you're wonderful, but you're just not to where I want you to be. And I was like, okay, well, that's nice, but not what I needed to hear, especially with when it resurfaces with other people. But yeah, so I'm at a place of closure for myself, but, I want to forgive, but also there are some things where it's a lesson that I never want to forget. It's not something that I want to be negligent to and just say this happened and close the door on it. I want to know and be like, okay, this is something that I need to constantly learn from, because I never want to walk that road again.
Mm-hmm. So what is, you mentioned that with new people that have shown up for you, like little hints of maybe this past is peeking through. So what is that? What are you noticing in the next coming relationship?
Yeah. So like one thing is this person that I had broken up with and everything, because we had like a physical history and different things like that, and different like Christian faiths and whatever. If you have any sort of physical history, it's like, okay, well, not a virgin, like I can't be with you type of a thing. And so that was something that, like, yeah, we're not going to beat around the bush. That was something like when it surfaces in different relationships of like past things that I've worked through or gone through, faults that I've had and that sort, you know, just things across along those lines. I have migraines. I've had migraines for longest time. And so like, there have been a few times, that was one of them, was like, you're not, you know, like a fully dependable adult, you know, you're not a dependable person. And it's like, okay, I'm dependable as I can be. But it is like, I'm not going to hop behind the wheel if I can't, you know, see 5 feet in front of me. That's part of being a responsible adult, is knowing when to take action and when you're physically unable to. So like when I was given this list of things of why I would never be, you know, appreciated in a different relationship, and they're all things that have surfaced, with these other people of like, oh, well, I think you're a wonderful person, but the fact that you have migraines or whatever makes you unreliable. And that's like word for word translated over from one person and then say it a second time by a different person. It was like, okay, am I unreliable? Or is that just something that makes, you know, has them have these feelings? And, or like, you know, dating a good Christian guy of like, oh, you've had a physical past and you're damaged now. So
right.
No other Christian guy in your faith is going to want to be with you, especially not me. And that's like, okay, well, he knew when I was breaking up and leaving with him that those might be things that happened, I guess. I don't know. He said I'm out of anger, but the fact that they've resurfaced later in other relationships, I'm like, okay, am I damaged? Am I not good enough? Am I, you know? And so that's the really frustrating part is when words get told. I think it's in Seven Habits of Highly Effective People or one of those books where it's like, you know, there's one thing when somebody's just saying something to you, but if like three or more people say the same thing to you, you might want to take it as constructive criticism of like, you know, if somebody's saying that like you're always late and then somebody else is saying you're always late and the third person is saying you're always late, well, and maybe it's like, okay, yeah, I am always late and I need to recognize that and work on it for myself. Mm. Does that make sense? And so when it's resurfaced with other people, I'm like, oh, is there things that are wrong with me? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And that's like a tough place to be in where you feel like you're getting evidence that what somebody says is now manifesting. It's true in different realms.
Right.
But what I want to separate here is, you know, within the realm of Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, those are habits. Those are like, you know, chewing with your mouth open and you're right, showing up late, like things that you actually have control over, like your day-to-day existence. How you choose to enjoy your sex life, how you choose to take care of your body when you're not feeling well, like your relationship to your own self-worth, all of that is not something that's changeable. It's just who you are. It's a choice that you make in this life. And these are constants. Habits are completely different realms. So I don't want you to think that these are in any way related because they're not. What's actually happening is that there's a part of you that is given a lot of faith and just trust in this partner. So maybe a version of you from the past feels like, okay, like, you know, I can trust him. Like he makes everything better. He saves me. He watches out for me. He was who I'm destined to be with for the rest of my life. So there is a level, a part of you that actually really trusts him, whether or not you want to be with him in this moment. So with that means the things that he says hold some resonance in you that you are now manifesting. You are attracting these types of people to poke at these very insecurities that this person has instilled in you. So it's 100% not true at all. It's just that because there's a part of you that's afraid, what if this is true, you're attracting it. And so until we heal the relationship with what this list of things is that he's left you with, the partners that are going to come into your life are going to come back with the same matching insecurities. Like if you know you're feeling a type of uneasiness about, okay, if you know, if I'm not a virgin, am I going to find a partner that's not a virgin? We're going to attract a guy who's insecure about sleeping with somebody who's not a virgin, who clearly doesn't feel confident in his own manhood. He needs to be with somebody who's been with nobody. So there's a type of masculine that isn't threatened by that at all, and there is a type that is. And so when you own that part of yourself, you will naturally find people who own that part of the inverse within themselves and can honor you. Does that make sense? I want to just pause there for a second.
Yeah, see how that does make sense. That isn't something that I've ever thought about, but that's like 100% true.
I'm feeling right now that is actually holding you back is this longing to be at the stage of forgiveness prematurely. So with him right now, being in this state of love, sending love and sending forgiveness might not be very entirely authentic for you right now. To get there, there needs to be this bit of like anger that's released. And I think that is why you attracted this moment with him, where he just kind of went off out of anger, and you perceive it as anger. Because there's a part of you that needs to release that. The anger of being controlled like a puppet, being manipulated, being lied to, being just thrown all these really negative comments. Like even after so much time has passed, he still is wanting to inflict pain. And there's a part of you I can sense. It's like, abso-freaking-lutely not. Like, you don't get to do that to me. You're not allowed to come into my space and talk to me like that and make me feel like that. And so what I would like you to do is actually have a contained practice where you let out your anger and you experience your anger towards him. Not necessarily you send him a message or you have to see him. It doesn't need to be towards him energetically, doing it in your own space at home, allowing yourself to just like feel the rage of being silenced, because there's a version of you that's like, what I'm sensing, it's like he shrunk you down, said, okay, you're going to stay right here and you're going to be quiet. And, you know, even if you're upset, you're going to like, you're not mad. You're not actually mad. So he knew exactly what to say to manipulate the emotions that was really true for you. And so right now that anger that's been bottled up needs to be released in order for you to own none of what you said is true. I no longer want to align with it. And that's when you're going to break the pattern.
Yeah, no, that's 100% true. 100% true.
Yeah. And the thing is, you're probably not on your day-to-day thinking about him or trying to heal this relationship, but it's sitting inside of you and it's still affecting the way that you're relating to other people right now. So what I would want you to do is maybe start by just like writing a letter first to him, like nothing that you have to actually send. And actually, I kind of want you to intend on not sending the letter, but just like letting it out. Like, if you need to swear, if you need to like do name calling, if you want to be an immature little brat, if you want to act little 17-year-old, speak from her, whatever comes through, allow yourself to unload in that space. And if you have like a safe container or like a place, like letting that out through sound. So maybe that means like you're screaming, like you're like making noise that actually embodies the anger and the rage that you're feeling. If you just want to scream into a pillow, if you feel like that would make you most comfortable underwater in a pool, but like allowing your voice to come out is going to be huge.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. Right. That makes sense. That's awesome. I love it. Okay. I'm really actually excited now. I'm excited. And I feel like I've had more of a breakthrough than like 6 months of therapy took. Like, it took me so long to get certain things in, you know, just like right after. But I feel like I've gotten more just out of, you know, our time speaking than I did in 6 months of working with a therapist. So I really appreciate it, Halai. You've been awesome.
Oh, thank you. I so appreciate you saying that.